Welcome to Curtain Call. I'm Charles Sipos. In today's program, I chat with violinist and founding member of the Great Emerson String Quartet about his experience of recording Schubert's Quintet in C Major with renowned cellist Mstislav Rostropovich. We'll play much of that recording, one of my Desert Island Discs. This, up next on today's Curtain Call.
Thank you.
That was the beginning of Schubert's String Quartet in C Major, Deutsch 956. Performing is the Emerson String Quartet with Mstislav Rostropovich on the Deutsche Grammophon label. I'm Charles Sipos. My guest today on Curtain Call is violinist Philip Setzer, a founding member of the Emerson String Quartet, who returns to perform in the 13th annual Music at Menlo Summer Festival, entitled Schubert, which runs through August 8th in venues around Atherton. Philip Setzer, welcome to Curtain Call.
It's great to be here.
One thing I've always wanted to talk to you about is the wonderful Schubert Quintet. Mm. And you're recording with Emerson and Mstislav Rostropovich. Yeah. Is one of my Desert Island discs.
Oh, well, thank you.
And of course, partly it's the great, great music, and of course, partly it is the great, great performance. And I would love for you to talk about the piece, and particularly about that performance on the recording, which for me is transcendent, magical and mystical and wondrous and luminous.
Well, I thank you for that. That piece happens to be my favorite piece of music of anything. If you're talking about Desert Island, if I were able to just take one piece to the Desert Island to yes. live the rest of my life, that would be it. Of course, I'd need to have, four other people to help me out. But that, for me, is the pinnacle of all music. That whole experience of playing with Rostropovich and recording with him, it was something that took all of us out of reality for a few days, and I think the fact that the recording has that effect on you and many other people that have heard it comes from this, the way we felt that week playing this incredible masterpiece with such a great cellist and musician. And the night that it's interesting. I'll tell you a very quick story about the recording. We recorded the first movement in the morning, we came to a big lunch that was being given in Rostropovich's honor. He was being given the keys to the city that we were recording in Germany. We had this huge, heavy German lunch, and we sort of said no to the beer, but it was just a very heavy lunch. And we walked back, sort of waddled back to the church where we were recording, and I remember walking with Rostropovich and saying, "Oh, I don't know, this is not going to be easy to record the slow movement the way I'm feeling right now." And I was sort of joking, but we did one take of the slow movement, and Rostropovich listened to it in about 10 measures of it, and he said, "My friends, we go take nap now." everybody went back to the hotel, and I actually stayed in a little hotel next to where the church was, and I took a bath and I slept, and it got dark and it started to snow, and then I went over to the church about an hour before the rest of them were coming back. And I was sitting in this church by myself practicing this slow movement and looking out the window, and the street lamp, you could see the snow coming down, and then the rest of them came, and that was the scene. That was how we recorded the slow movement, and it was magical. The whole evening, we just felt like we were in a different place, and that music is from a different place and should take you to a different place. But we actually felt that way as we were playing it. So it was a truly magical experience. So when you, you know, when you hear that movement again, just imagine that, that setting. But also imagine Indeed. Him saying, "My friends, now we take nap."
So what was your relationship to that piece before? I imagine you had played it and perhaps many times.
I had played it many times, never enough, with many different cellists. And we knew this was going to be something very special because, you know, David Finkel had studied with Rostropovich, and he was one of, clearly one of David's heroes, but also ours as well. And so it was a big moment in our career, too.
How was it a big moment in your career?
Well, I remember the very first time I played the piece, I just felt like I was, when I finished it, I felt like I had sort of climbed a mountain that I wasn't sure I could ever get to the top of, but I felt that I had really, just the piece itself, just getting through it was something really rewarding, and I knew it was the greatest music, and I knew how difficult it was, but it was just so satisfying to get there, you know, to get to the top of the mountain. And that week with Rostropovich, I think we discovered that the mountain was actually quite a bit higher than we thought. you know, but we got there. We got there, and with his help, and so it was even more a sense of accomplishment. And we went.
And so was that. Yeah. Was that how it changed your career? In terms of musicianship, or was it something else?
Well, I think aside from the fact that we made a recording with Rostropovich, which certainly didn't hurt our career, so to speak.
Yes,
it was more this. For me, it was more the inspiration of playing with such a great musician, and especially that piece. And you know, at the end of the week, he had to go back to Paris, and we went back with him. We had a concert there, and he invited us for lunch after the concert. It was a morning concert. We went over to his house, and we were delayed getting there because it was very, very cold, and the taxis didn't want to bring us only a few blocks, but it was too cold to walk with the instruments, so it took us a while to get there. And we had this long tour of his apartment and the wine cellar and all these things that he had brought back from the Winter Palace. And then, you know, and we were eating little things as we were drinking champagne with him. But then he looked at his watch and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It's very late now. And I thought we would have time for lunch, but it's just so late. I need to practice. I have a big concert tomorrow. I'm really, really sorry." So we said, "Oh, no, it's okay. We had enough to eat. It was just so great of you to have us here and meet Galina, his wife." And so we all got on our coats and said goodbye. And, you know, this all took about half an hour, everybody getting their coats on and saying goodbye. And
So I
started to go to the door. And he said, no, not that door. Go this way. It's a shortcut." I opened this other door, and it was a door to the dining room. And the dining room was full of food waiting for us. It was all a joke. He made us get our coats on and everything and said goodbye. And it was just a prank, you know. So we ended up taking our coats off again and sat down and had this unbelievable lunch with, you know, 47 toasts to everyone from Schubert to each of us to, you know. And the vodka, shall we say, the vodka flowed freely that afternoon. And you know, what I meant by sort of reaching a certain pinnacle in terms of the career was not so much, you know, the fame of doing that, but just feeling that we were really on the peak of a mountain with one of the greatest musicians ever playing one of the greatest pieces of music ever. And that's something you take with you for the rest of your career. And I think it helped to bring the quartet even closer, the four of us even closer to each other. And you know, it was a kind of a high that we achieved in that, from that experience, that just stayed with us still with me. You hear me talking about it, it's still one of the high points.
Absolutely. Have you had any other encounters with Rostropovich since then?
I had seen him a few times, and you know, he sadly passed away several years ago now. But I know that David was in touch with him. They were very close. David was almost like a nephew to him. And I think the whole reason that recording happened was because of Rostropovich's relationship with David. We were lucky enough to reap the benefit of that.
He was a cellist and a conductor as well. Mm-hmm. Did you experience his sensibilities as a conductor, as a performing musician yourself?
Not as a performing musician, no. I mean, well, actually, that's not true. I did play a concert with him in Puerto Rico many, many years ago at the Casals Festival. I was there as a kid. I remember playing the Francesca de Rimini of Tchaikovsky under him. And I remember this one time where he said, this is the, he was talking to the brass section. He said, this is the part where the flames come and burn her. And this chord in the brass. And I remember at the concert, the way he reached with his hand toward the brass, it was as if he were himself putting his hand into the flames. I can still see what that looked like. That kind of inspiration. I mean, he may have not been the greatest, you know, conductor in terms of stick technique. He certainly was one of the greatest cellists ever in terms of everything. But he was such an inspiration as a musician and as a human being, and what, you know, he also became a symbol of freedom, and you know, he was just bigger than life.
I imagine as a conductor, he had the sensibility of the whole score, of the whole piece, of the shape of the piece, of the form of how it all went, in addition to his own part in it, because you certainly have to have that as a conductor. And I'm wondering if that manifested itself in this recording of the Schubert's C major quintet with him.
I'm sure that's true. I mean, and I think that's true with any great musician. It's certainly something that we all aspire to, those of us who are trying to be good musicians who don't have that kind of gift that somebody like Rostropovich has. But we do try to look at the whole piece and what the composer has left for us. And I think you try to insert your own ego only when it's necessary as a performer, but not in a way that's in any way ever disrespectful to what the composer left for you. And you know, there were things that we discovered in our working with Rostropovich, ideas that he had that were in the score. Some things maybe were not, but they were ways of illuminating the score that I found really fascinating. It was one thing that he did, which was interesting, just remembering how he recorded it in the slow movement. He played the second cello part, which is normally what the guest cellist will do. He moved over into the front, sort of like where the viola would be, in the way that we play with the cellos in the back and the viola on the side. So he was directly across from me. I was playing first violin, and the others were seated a little bit behind, sort of like a choir that was slightly further away from the microphones. So there was a technique used for that recording that was a little bit more the way you would imagine a photograph being set up, with something in the foreground and being more in focus, more detailed, and the other things in the back a little bit blurry, you know, a little bit out of focus,
yes,
slightly. And when you listen to that slow movement, if you listen to it with headphones, you can hear that. If you just listen, you know, in a room, you might not notice that. But now that I've told you that, listen to it that way, and you'll see it was really ingenious, that idea, because the second cello and the first violin really have a lot of the details around this sort of chorale that the other instruments play. And I think part of the reason why that slow movement works as well as it does on the recording is because of that seating.
Well, very exciting. We've been talking about the Schubert String Quartet in C major, Deutsch 956, in a recording that Emerson String Quartet did with Rostropovich on the Deutsche Grammophon label. Philip Setzer, it's a great pleasure visiting with you, and thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. I should also mention, as talking about recordings, that I also recorded this Schubert E-flat trio with David and Wuhan on their artist-led label. I've been very lucky to be able to record Schubert, who is my favorite composer.
Violinist Philip Setzer is a founding member of the superb Emerson String Quartet. He returns to perform in the 13th annual Music at Menlo, entitled Schubert, which runs through August 8th in venues around Atherton. For more information about Music at Menlo, go to the website musicatmenlo.org. I have a CD from Music at Menlo Live 2014 to give away to a listener. Caller number 4 to 584-2020 gets the CD. That's caller number 4 to 584-2020. Let's listen now to the remaining three movements of Schubert's String Quartet in C major, Deutsch 956. This is the Emerson String Quartet with cellist Mstislav Rostropovich on the Deutsche Grammophon label. I'm Charles Sipos. Join me again next week for Curtain Call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.